Welcome to Crossroads, a podcast from the National's review section. In the late 1960s, Nigeria descended into a devastating civil war that killed millions. But crucially, the bands played on, and out of this turmoil came a type of rock music that helped heal the country. This fascinating history is now the subject of a new book called Wake Up You, The Rise and Fall of Nigerian Rock, 1972 to 1977, by musicologist Uchenna Ikone, and he joins us here today. Uchenna, the book starts in the late 1960s, so could you set the scene for us and explain the situation in Nigeria then?
Well, you know, what was going on in Nigeria was political and social turmoil. The country had only been independent from Great Britain since 1960, but very quickly, the various regions of the country had found themselves competing for dominance. So after a few episodes of violence, it led to the eastern region deciding to secede from the Union. The Nigerian Federation, of course, couldn't let that happen. So they sent soldiers in to try to reclaim the eastern region back into the Federation. And what resulted was the Nigerian Civil War, also known as the Biafra War.
How did the rock scene begin?
Well, you know, the rock scene started much as it started as it started anywhere else in the world, which was kids discovering rock around the clock, you know, Bill Haley and the Comets, Elvis, and so on. At first, it seemed like rock and roll was just going to be nothing but a fad. But once the British groups started coming out in the early 60s, especially the Beatles, it turned into something much more than just a kind of music, and it became a youth culture and movement, which only grew throughout the 60s. It was by the 1970s, though, that it had really expanded to the point that Nigerian musicians started to integrate more indigenous cultural elements into the music and create their own unique form of Afro rock.
Okay, so just on that, I think a lot of people will be familiar with Fela Kuti, but his music wasn't always that popular in Nigeria, was it?
No. Fela had actually struggled since the beginning of the 1960s when he embarked upon his professional career as a musician. He had some very ambitious ideas, and they were not really palatable to the wide audience. He was, at the time, trying to be a straight jazz musician at first. And when that didn't work out, he became he moved over to a new style, trying to combine jazz and highlife music, which was the popular music at the time. So his style was it was a bit more high-minded than most people were used to. So he didn't really have a wide audience at the time.
Okay, so during the war, some bands were actually subsidized by the military to boost morale, weren't they? So it seems like music was almost a tool of war as well as a form of escapism.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it. Music as a tool of war. Yeah, music became very important on both sides of the conflict, both on the federal Nigerian side as well as the Biafran side. I think it was even more so on the Biafran side, though, for some reason, that maybe it's because there was so much destruction that was going on in the region, and people had lost everything. The only thing they really had to keep their spirits up was music. That was just a form of entertainment that was accessible to almost everybody. So it became almost like a life preserver for the people in the eastern region.
So were these bands that were subsidized by the military, were they articulating or propagating a certain point of view, or were they allowed to do or sing songs about whatever they wanted?
No, their music was largely apolitical. Nobody really, I don't think anybody was really singing any kind of political statement at the time. I mean, I would imagine that they probably would give a few chants praising the Biafran cause, obviously, encouraging people to stay strong and hold on to the cause of secession. But other than that, the lyrics of the songs themselves were not politically oriented.
What do you think is the legacy of this music today?
That's really hard to say. You know, the legacy of the music today, in Nigeria, not a lot of people today remember this music at all. So it's hard to say that there is a concrete legacy in that way. But one thing that this music did was that it did firmly enshrine youth culture in Nigeria, which persists to the present day. And it also expanded the recording industry. Prior to the 1970s, the Nigerian music industry was based largely around live performance, you know, the nightclub economy. And records were mostly advertisements that promoted the bands that you should go out and see in the clubs. But in the 1970s, people started viewing records as pieces of art in of themselves, and that's something that the rock groups brought about.
Why do you think it's not really remembered much in Nigeria today? What's the reason for that, do you think?
Yeah, there are various reasons for it. To be honest, in Nigeria, we've never really been great with preserving or promoting the cultural accomplishments of the past. You know, in Nigeria, we've never had something like, you know, the K-Tel collections, or Now That's What I Call Music, or I Love the 70s, you know, where you collect all the songs from the 70s and you put them out and everybody gets to either reacquaint themselves with them or learn about them. There's nothing like that. So usually something is popular, and then when it stops being popular, it goes away. And, you know, very few things do persist through time in that way.
That's interesting, because artists like Fela Kuti, I mean, they really have a massive worldwide appeal now, and they're respected and, you know, acclaimed internationally. So yeah, it's interesting that you think, you know, sorry, but it's interesting that in Nigeria that this era may not be looked upon with much interest.
Yeah, you know, Fela is a very interesting case for a few reasons. One, he was incredibly prolific. The fact that he has so many records that managed to remain in print, it was easier to remember him. And also the fact that his persona was so large that it actually superseded music. He was a social personality. And because of that, people still remember him for the things that he actually did in real life. And then that, you know, that ends up transferring over to the music. If that were just a guy who was just making records, I don't know if he would be remembered as well. Fela's also actually helped by the fact that his records were reissued very widely over the past 15 years.
On a final point, musicians in Nigeria today, do they look back at this era as, do they take inspiration from it? Do they respect this time?
They don't even know it exists.
Really?
No, most people don't. Yeah. I mean, you know, most of the musicians today were born in between 1988 and 1995, probably. And this is a scene that probably dissolved around the late 70s. This is ancient history to them. And like I said, there are no history books that teach of this history. So not only do they not know about it, they just don't even, they're not aware it existed at all. I mean, if they knew about it, they might be interested in it, but there's just no way for them to know about it.
Well, it sounds like this book is almost a historical document as well, Uchenna.
That was the intention.
To read a review of The Rise and Fall of Nigerian Rock, please visit thenational.ie. Thank you for listening. We've been grown from grace to grass, now it's a turn to fame.